Today I'll be reading from James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind.
My name's Ryan, and I'm on the pastoral team here at Living Waters. And today, I'm going to be continuing on our series on wisdom. Today, we're going to be talking specifically about the future. Wisdom. It's the birthplace of the comment, hindsight is 20/20. We all have stories of making poor choices, don't we? And because of those stories, we all have stories of our future selves thinking back to our past actions and saying, if I would have known then what I know now. Stories of too much ice cream before bed or impulse purchases that we now regret. Perhaps there's a get-rich-quick financial investment in there. Or maybe stories of relational difficulties, of words said that were maybe said at the wrong time in the wrong attitude. So today we're going to spend some time interacting with the concept of wisdom and the future. This is perhaps a more important topic than we first give credit. The future is big, really big. In fact, it's where we're going to live in 10 seconds and 100 minutes and 1,000 days and 10,000 years. So what we think about the future, how we posture ourselves for the future is important. In today's scripture, James makes a big statement. As Haven read for us, James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, they should ask God, who will give you wisdom. This is a great start, by the way. Let's go over that verse again. If any of you lacks wisdom, seriously, today, Living Waters, if you lack wisdom for any situation, in any area of your life, you don't know how to move forward or where to go to be able to make that decision about the future. If that's you, you should ask God, and He will give you wisdom. Last week, Kirsten made the very good point that God wins. We have so much to hope for as a follower of Jesus walking into the future because first, we know that God wins, and second, God has promised to walk along with us. If we ever lack wisdom for the future, we can simply ask God, and God will grant us wisdom. It's so easy. So, why is it not? Why do I, as a follower of Jesus, have so much challenge in living out my life with Jesus full of faith? The difficulty comes in what James addresses through much of his letter. Trials, difficulties, challenges. We love the idea of a victorious life with Jesus, but life isn't just rainbows and lollipops. There are actually trials. There are difficulties because of poor decisions, challenges because life simply has trials in it. When we look into the future, we don't just see the victory. We also wonder about the difficulties. Will I be healthy? Will I have friends? Who will those friends be? Will I prosper like Solomon or suffer like Job? What will the challenges be in my future? So James speaks to this in the next verse. He says, when you ask for wisdom, you should believe the wisdom and not doubt. Because when you doubt, you become unstable. You begin to look this way and that way. You begin to be tossed and pushed around like a boat in the waves. You begin to wonder if you are walking with God's wisdom. So how do we live in light of this? How can I live out a future full of faith in a triumphant God well walking through the trials and setbacks of life in a broken world? Well, I have good news and bad news. So we'll do the bad news first. Bad news. I can't answer this in a sermon. In fact, the only way that this can be answered is through a life lived out as individuals and as a community. So the good news is that we do get to live through the victories and setbacks of this life as individuals, but also as a community. We don't do this alone. So I'll take the same approach to this message. I've asked Darcy and Leanne McAllister, who are two of our global workers, to sit down with me and answer some questions that I have about wisdom and about the future. Darcy and Leanne are a couple who have often stepped out in faith, and they've experienced many things not going how they thought they would. And Darcy and Leanne have, for the most part, not been blown and tossed by the wind. So, three truths for us as we head into this quick conversation. One, in the end, as Kirsten said, God wins. Two, we will face trials in this life of faith. And three, if we ask God for wisdom, He will give it to us. But if we ask and He gives that wisdom, we should not waver on this wisdom that He gives. So a couple weeks ago, I was able to sit down with Darcy and Leanne and ask them some questions around wisdom, faith, and the future. Let's hear what they say. Darcy and Leanne, it's so good to have you here with us. Thank you for being willing to sit down with me and have a conversation about wisdom today. Darcy and Leanne are global workers with us here at Living Waters. And why don't we just start right there? Why don't you share with us about what your lives look like as global workers?
Yeah, we're delighted to be here and to be a part of this great series that you've been doing over the summer. We're Darcy and Leanne, and we divide our time between a big city in Asia and then here in British Columbia. And there's sort of four things that we do, and it helps us frame what it is that we do. And the first thing is Zoe Network, which I know Living Waters is very familiar with because Zoe was actually birthed here at Living Waters, which is just amazing. Zoe really exists to help people understand their part in God's mission and encourages them to step into the good purposes and plans that He has for their lives. And so that's been an amazing thing. And we've seen exponential growth in Zoe Network over the last few years. So that's the thing number one, right?
Thing number two is we do spend a chunk of our time in Asia. And we lead at the historical mission there. So we've got a school, a church, a network of churches, mm-hmm. a college, and we work with leaders there. Mm-hmm. So even right now, this Sunday, they are taking a series. I think there's 9 churches taking a mission series that we put together, 7 Sundays long. So it's coming. It's about halfway through as we speak, mm-hmm. and they are launching into mission.
Yeah.
And it's so cool to kind of help empower.
Yeah, that. It's like a church that has received is now being launched to mission. So it's amazing. And then the third thing we do is we work in marriage. Now, we've been married a long time. We've been married 34 years this summer, which is pretty awesome. And we've created materials that different church groups, different language groups use around the world. And so there, just this past fall, we were in a restricted access nation and training their leaders on marriage, family relationships, that kind of thing, because that teaching in some parts of the world just isn't there. And so we go in and empower leaders to help local people with their marriages. When marriages and families are strong, it has a ripple effect all throughout communities. And so we love that.
It was so cool. Like we, at the end of that training, we said, I did this work, said to our hosts, and they said, Yes, because you not only talked about it, but you demonstrated it. And that was really special in a culture where women are less valued than the family goat.
Which is what we were told.
Yeah.
And so for Darcy to even, as we teach together, him honoring me, me honoring him, that is so much of a message as well. So.
And the fourth thing is we work with leaders. And we work with leaders everywhere. We're on Zoom at all kinds of times. And just a passion to develop leaders who develop leaders. That's us.
Yeah.
So good. Love the work that you do.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the future.
Yeah.
So would you be willing to share with us a story of maybe when you faced an uncertain future that you needed to ask for wisdom for? And in that, did God speak? Mm. And then how did God share that wisdom with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh. We have so many stories.
As part of our work in Asia, like I am working with the education department, the lands department, the school in our building, the church in our building, and we are looking to potentially redevelop this building.
It's huge.
It's a big thing. And it feels overwhelming. So last fall, in the process of this, I got a letter from the government. And the letter from the government was written in such a way that I thought, oh no.
He thought he blew it.
I thought we'd just lost all of our work in Asia, in our city. Mm. We'd lost our building. We'd lost everything. And I struggled. So I went for a prayer walk. I'm like, God, I need your help. But I was still struggling like crazy. And so I went to bed, tossed and turned. And finally at 3 o'clock in the morning, I got up and started to walk out to our little red couch. And as I came around the corner, my phone was flashing in its little charging nest. And so I picked up the phone and I opened it. And this is what it said. There was a message from a woman in Saskatoon. And she said, praying for you right now. As I pray, my focus is on you, Darcy. I sense that you have a lot in your mind, things that bring you concern and some things that attempt to weigh you down. And as I continued to pray, this came to me. Son, I've got this. It's like the Father has his hand on your shoulder and the assurance is palpable. May you sense him right now and have a holy rest in your spirit.
Oh, my.
And it was just, it was like God just jumped in and said, like, you're okay. And so powerful. I was able to rest. And the next morning when I woke up and worked with our team on that email and how to respond, we didn't lose it all. Like, it's a long journey, but wow, that was special.
And I think a key part of that was within community, right?
Yeah.
Like sometimes when we're at a crossroads and we don't know what step to take or we're sort of all out of options, so often we think that it depends on us, that somehow we have to have all the answers. And yet when we accept Christ, we're actually welcomed into a family. Hmm. Like we are not business associates. We're not great friends, like though that may be true. Mm-hmm. We're in a family where we actually care for each other and discern together. And I know that was huge for you, that moment where God was showing you something and using other people to help you kind of get through that breakthrough.
Yeah, like Living Waters supports us as global workers, as partners. And for some, you may go, well, that's just sending a check every month. Mm. It's like, no, it's not. It's about this spiritual relationship. The finances help, but it's also that knowledge that there are people who have you in mind.
Mm. Yeah.
And when Holy Spirit brings you to mind, that you'll pray.
Yeah.
And same back for us. Like we care about Living Waters and pray for Living Waters and believe for, like, so it's that interconnectedness. Mm.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I like that.
So when you've had to walk out your future in faith, I'm sure you faced some difficulties lack of finance, lack of energy, lack of open doors, whatever that was. How have you, as James writes, how have you believed and not doubted in those moments?
When, I mean, doubt comes, right? Like, I guess 4 years ago, we moved to Asia. And we, at that time, were saying we're blowing up our lives and kind of leaving everything. And, you know, we left with lots of plans and what we thought we were going to encounter, landing in our city in January 2020, which was 3 weeks before the pandemic hit us, and our worlds changed radically. Yeah. And I think there were times where there were some wobbles in that, right? But I think for us, when we've heard God's voice or discerned it to the best of our ability, we've invited other people to kind of lean into that and help us to hear the Lord. Then we go boldly. And I think of Doug Smith when he's like, make a decision and make a bold one, right? You know, and you do. And if there's course correction, he's going to help you with that. But for us, we will go back to the moment of calling or go back to the moment where we knew that we knew that we knew that this is where he was taking us. And until we hear something different, we're just going to trust and keep going. I don't know what you would add to that.
Just to say that moment, like going back to where we knew that we knew, like, there have been so many times in our lives where we sit down on the couch or in bed and pull out the journals and go, remember when? Mm-hmm. Remember when God said this?
Yeah.
And that helps us with the wobbles. It's like, no, we're on track. Yeah. And then to do that in community as well, like it helps.
Yeah.
So good. So in Scripture, we're given this call to focus on today and not to worry about tomorrow. So how do we orient ourselves and think about the future, knowing that we have the instruction to not worry about tomorrow and focus on today and live in the present? So what's the right amount to focus on the future?
Right. You know, it's interesting because I think our default has always been the future. And I actually think that could be said for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Like when I was in school, I wanted to get married. When I had a baby, you know, when I got married, I wanted to have a baby. Like I'm always looking ahead and not actually being right where I'm at.
Really?
Is that news to you? and so it was interesting when we moved to Asia with our charts that were fully color-coded, right? It actually, it changed something in us and almost built a muscle in us to be more present where we were at and more curious about what God was doing around us in the moment. Because, you know, when you do 7 quarantines and you thought you were going to be traveling throughout Asia, it's sort of like, okay, you know, we talk about that pivot, right? We hate that word now. But Lord, what is it that you're doing right now? And how can I cooperate with what you're doing? And this isn't at all what I thought it would be like. But that's a gift, I think, that the pandemic has given to me for sure. Like, I think of Zoe. I had it in my mind. I actually left staff here at Living Waters to pursue Zoe full time. And I remember I had an idea of what it was going to look like. It was going to be fantastic. And sometimes that was just a lesson in frustration. But as I've let go and almost allowed the Holy Spirit to lead me day by day, I'm actually seeing more fruit, which is interesting. In January, this past January, my prayer was, I want to do less and I want to see more. Now, I'm not afraid of hard work. We like to work hard. But sometimes our busy work is like this and keeping us on a treadmill when really the Lord's just saying, slow down and let me show you what's already happening around you. So it's been such a gift. So we plan, we think, we strategize, we build things, we build relationships, all of that, but hold it far more loosely, in terms of like, Lord, what are you doing right here?
And it's almost like we prepare or anticipate losing control and anticipate walking down rabbit trails that God opens up.
Yeah.
Like this fall, there's a Zoe group starting in France.
With national
leaders taught by Canadian French-speaking leaders. And it's out of all this crazy connections that we didn't do.
Wow.
And you can't make it happen. Wow. But that's the life of a disciple. Like it should be the most adventurous life.
Yeah.
Because he's leading us into incredible things. But will we actually go there?
That's the challenge and the blessing,
yeah.
Right? So as global workers, you have a unique perspective on culture because you live kind of simultaneously in at least two cultures mm-hmm. at once. So what would you say the stumbling point is for us as Christians, especially here in North America, when it comes to walking out wisdom in faith for our future?
Yeah. It was interesting because we were talking about this and like, we'd say the same thing for Canada as well as for the city that we live in, but we want control.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
We have a very clear idea of what it is that we want and try to move everything around in order to get what we want. And yet the life of a disciple is letting go more so that God can lead you into those paths of righteousness, those paths of fruitfulness. So control freak, that's me.
Yeah, I think we try to grab control
and
allowing God to lead and allowing God to lead at his pace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a discipline and it's something that looking back to Canada is way too process oriented and not spiritually connected.
And we're driven by all these sort of like unseen masters, right?
Yeah.
Like we want to be comfortable.
Yeah.
We want significance. We want to, you know, people to like who we are and be impressed by what we do. We're driven by money, like all of these things, right? Mm-hmm. And so much of the choices that we make for our futures are all driven by these things that are from the pit, because that's not the driving force in our lives, right? Mm-hmm. I read a book a few years ago by Walter Brueggemann called Sabbath as Resistance, which I highly recommend. And he talks about getting off that treadmill of drivenness. And when we get off that treadmill and go, my significance is in the Lord alone, I don't have to worry about how provision is going to come. I trust him as long as I'm hearing his voice. When we get off that treadmill, it's like we're driving a stake in the ground that says we're not slaves. We are beloved children of the Father who is leading us forward into really good things and really fruitful things. And so I remind myself of that. When I'm finding myself stirred up, what's driving me in this moment?
Right.
Do I want people to be impressed with me? Or am I nervous about money and how God's going to provide for us? Because as soon as I'm in those places, I know that I'm off track.
Right, right. So what are some words of encouragement and practical help that you have for us as a Living Waters community in light of those challenges and those places that we go that will help us to not be that double-minded and blown and tossed by the wind like James talks about? What are some words of encouragement you have for us?
Yeah, going overseas really pushed us to depend on God and our relationship with God in a greater way. Mm-hmm. It's like, why didn't I live this way before? You know, like
we're careful.
Because we're careful. And here we tend to go to our resources, our skills, and our logical solutions. And so the practical thing that I would say is prayer first and then planning.
Right.
Like in that order. It's not that all the planning is bad. It's good, but prayer first to actually hear from God and then begin to move. And I say that and not the token rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, God. Right. Now here are my plans.
Yeah, but please rubber stamp these.
Yeah. It's not that rubber stamp thing. It's to actually listen. Mm-hmm. And I think there is amazing things for each of us in our day-to-day and our long-term futures when we do that.
Mm-hmm. Pray before planning. Pray
That's
before
right. planning.
Beautiful. Darcy and Leanne, thank you for sharing with us today mm-hmm. just that depth of the places of faith you've walked in. It's wonderful to hear from you about to help us as we try and do the same thing. We love you guys deeply.
We love you too.
Thanks for sharing with us. So good to hear from Darcy and Leanne. As we go this week, remember, community is so important as we journey through this life, especially as we experience the trials and challenges that we'll experience in our life of faith. Second, as Darcy said, pray before you plan. We have the opportunity when we don't know how to move forward that we can ask God and He will give us wisdom. So, as you go this week, my prayer for you would be that you would have the opportunity to ask God for wisdom and you would experience Him giving that wisdom to you. So go this week in God's blessing, knowing that He is walking beside you and that you have a community walking with you as well. God bless you this week.